Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I love it when beautiful women come on my show. I know that sounds sexist and horrible, but screw it, I love it. Anyway, we got Kat Kalvalsa today. Great jazz stylist, going to sing some of her original tunes. Got a great backing band with her today, which she's going to introduce in case I screw it up, right, Kat?
No problem, I can do that. Okay. I have Joe Abba on the drums, Sam Manai on the bass, and behind me over here is Sean Fitzpatrick on keyboards today.
And I want to give a little shout out to Frank and Camille's Music Shop, who kindly supplied us with this beautiful Kawai weighted key electronic piano. Yeah!
Go Frankie.
So last show we were talking a little bit about how you write the music out, but you don't, like when you meet with the band, what you do is you give them the charts, but you don't play them an MP3, perhaps, of your arrangement of the song because you wanted their input.
Yeah, I usually sit down at the piano. I play okay, and I play through the song for them with the feel that I've worked on at home, and then we just kind of take it from there and rehearse through it, and any roadblocks we come up with, or, oh, I forgot to mark that, or, Kat, you should, maybe this might be a great idea here, this could be a good place for a fill, and we'll rehearse and then take it home, and I'll futz with it, and adjust it, and play around with it, and bring it back, and one of the tunes we played last time was I had a very short solo section, and I was just thinking that I really wanted to have a longer solo because I really enjoy that part of the music and of the genre of jazz, and so I went home and I tried to figure out some chords that would work, and came up with something, and we all liked it, so it was kind of a good direction for the song to take.
Now you're training.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your training.
Well, I started in Lawrence, at Lawrence University, which is in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I was a classical voice major for a year, and I hated it. Sorry, Patrice.
You don't sound like a classical singer.
Oh, I can do it. But it was just not, it didn't speak to me, and I tried musical theater, and I really didn't like that. And then I started taking, I was like, well, jazz, my dad was always playing, trying to get me to listen to it, and I didn't like it. And so I said, well, why not? And I started taking just jazz lessons with Ken Schaffhurst, who at that time was the jazz faculty, and he's now the head of the jazz department at New England Conservatory.
But, oh, boy.
Yeah, so I started taking one-on-one lessons with him, and my voice teacher at the time was okay with me studying jazz, which in the classical world is a really big deal because most classical voice teachers do not want you doing anything except classical because they're afraid that it's going to mess up your voice, which is wrong, but it's very wrong. You can sing healthy in any style as long as you know what to do. And then I moved, they didn't have a jazz voice anything. I had no outlet to really do anything there, so I auditioned for the Manhattan School of Music and moved here in 96, and yeah, and I graduated from Manhattan School of Music with a bachelor's degree in jazz commercial voice, and I studied with Peter Eldridge of the New York Voices when I was there, and yeah, and I stayed in New York and worked for a while, and then in 2005, I auditioned for the University of Miami for a master's degree, and I graduated in 2007, and I have a master's degree in jazz pedagogy, so which is the teaching of jazz. And I moved back up here and re-met some of these people, and yeah, started playing.
Now, you make your living playing music.
I make my living playing music and teaching.
Well,
yeah.
To me, that's part of it.
It is.
I mean, I have lots of friends, when they get older, they don't even want to go out for $100 because they can make that in a half an hour teaching.
No, I want to go out, okay. And I want to be on stage. I want to give people music in many ways.
Let me help you promote yourself.
Sounds like
where do you teach?
I teach at a few different places. I teach at about 25 different homes. I go into their homes and I give them piano lessons. Actually, I teach piano lessons a lot more than I teach voice lessons. But I also work at Public School 86, which is called the Kingsbridge High School in the Bronx. I work with inner city kids. There's about 30 to 35 kids in a classroom. I see 8 classes a week. There I have 4 first grades and 4 sixth grades that I work with. And it's just general music, singing and learning notes and things. And then I also work at the Master School, which is in Dobbs Ferry, and I am on faculty there as a voice teacher for high school kids. So that's the most fun that I have.
Do you do weddings and bar mitzvahs?
I do, if it's the right timing and situation, yes.
In other words, it's got to pay more than $400 or...
Well, I don't know. It has to...
Just joking.
It has to be with people that I really enjoy making music with, always. I think... As a musician, you're sort of in a service industry in a lot of ways. You're providing something for someone. It's an important thing to give back to the people that are around you. It's an honest profession. It's something I love about it. So
today we're going to feature 3 of your original compositions.
Yes, exactly.
So let's get it on.
All right, sounds like a plan. Let's play Pomegranate Man first.
This is a tune called Pomegranate Man, and it's based on the changes for The Nearness of You, and it was something I was working on one day, and it was really fun, so we did it.
You're like a pomegranate man, walking on a patch of trail. Can't you see the moonlight at your feet? You're like a shadow in the night. You're like an angel. When you fall, every
The next tune we're going to do is called A Rose. It's one of the only, I guess, slower love tunes that I've written. And it's about no one in particular, just no particular place to go.
Oh,
So the next tune is called The Brooklyn Dodger, and yeah. Never give up hope.
Assumed the pose of his face. Yeah.
Thanks.
I think it's tough when you make it really young in life and then you have the rest of your life to slide downhill. I'm thinking of the Brooklyn Dodger.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking of Taylor Swift, man. When your biggest year is 20, where do you have to go?
She's got a lot more to say, but she needs to learn to sing in tune.
Now, I thought that was her charm.
I don't think so. Someone needs to teach her to sing in tune. It's not hard, but she's a great songwriter. I think that she has a lot of potential as a songwriter, and I think she writes very apropos tunes to her audience, and I think she's very good at crafting them. And she's, you know, she looks the part and everything, but someone needs to teach her how to sing in tune, because it's a tragedy.
Interesting.
And auto-tune only goes so far. It only goes to live.
You know,
it doesn't do live music.
Auto-tune was invented for Ringo Starr of the Beatles.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because Ringo didn't care if he was off pitch.
Yeah.
And actually, I have a friend of mine who was a folk musician in the 60s, and he was playing me a couple of Ringo tracks, like Yellow Submarine. And if you listen to it carefully, it's god awful. I mean, in terms of double track, but it's off pitch. Then you listen to his later stuff, and he had the auto thing.
It helps.
And it sounds better.
I think it's a good tool, but I think it's overused.
Well, you sound lovely.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Just lovely. I wanted to ask you something. Take this a different direction. What makes you stand out from the pack?
I really believe that I'm doing something different than I mean, I hear other singers writing music, but they're not thinking about their audience. They're not thinking about what this music can change and what it can bring to people. And I think a lot of jazz singers shut off a whole audience that could be, like, listening to them because they sing either a lot of standards or they don't. Which I love. I love singing standards. They're so much fun. But if they're writing their own music, they're writing things that are difficult to listen to, and they're not thinking about a lyric. They're like, oh, I'll write some music, and I'll put some lyrics onto it, and it'll be great.
So it's more about their voice as a musical instrument as opposed to a storytelling instrument.
Yeah, and I think that's good, but I think that I bring the storytelling aspect of a singer-songwriter to the world of jazz that I don't hear out there very often. Some people, but it's not prevalent.
We've got a minute left.
Yeah.
Your new CD, what's it called?
It's called Chrysalis. It's Chrysalis. It came out about a year ago, I guess. Different musicians are on it, but same tunes. There's 9 original tunes on it. You can buy it at cdbaby.com or iTunes or on my website, catcalvosa.com. You can Dig Station, I think, also sells it, so it's out there.
Where are you playing in the near future?
I am playing with this band. In addition, there's a guitarist joining us at Ella Lounge. It's on the Lower East Side of New York City, February 27th from 8 to 10.
And people can always check out your website for more dates, since you are a generally working musician.
I am, definitely. Or contact me if you'd like to, you know, have me perform. I do house concerts and things like that, too. So it's good.
Kat, it was a pleasure.
You too, Roger.
I want to thank the boys for coming down.
Thank you.
Sam, this is the second time. All right.
Cool.
Sam, what's more important, the music or the video? Loud.
Music.
Okay.
Always
thank
music.
You. We're out.
Thanks.
Great job.
Thank you.
I thought it was the fashion.
Yeah.
I thought about that for a good hour and a half yesterday. So, yeah.